Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cash, and welcome to the Dork Forest. Intros are hard. I have a new album. You should be listening to it. I have a new hour. You could be watching it on YouTube, but I appreciate you listening to this, The Dork Forest. You could go to JackieCasia.com or TheDorkForest.com, and you can listen to it there. You can listen to it on wherever you're listening to it right now. You can watch it on YouTube separately, and that is where Altercation is also streaming. The album is available wherever you listen to any kind of album, and it's also on Bandcamp, which has a bunch of other, some very old Dork Forests that are free on that channel. Otherwise, you should know that the Dork Forest is, I don't have a Patreon, so feel free to donate. If you have $100 a year, I would love $100 a year from everybody. You can hand me a sweaty wad of 20s when you come and see me do stand-up, or you can email me or Venmo me. The email would be PayPal, jackie@jackiecation.com, where you can also email me. And Venmo is just at jackiecation, which is like my Instagram and my TikTok and all the things. And there's merch. There's Dork Forest merch. There's Made of Bees merch. And I don't know. There's so much stuff. I can't remember everything. You're doing vital work by listening to the Dork Short Forest, and I'm glad you are. And I hope you want to hear about somebody's dorkdom, because that's what's going to happen right now. Look, it's me again, right? With the Dork Forest. It's Cation. Jackie Cation here. New to the Dork Forest, a new guest is Troy Walker, who has a new album out, his first album. It's called Esquire. And if you go to at Troy Walker ESQ, which stands for Esquire, that's where he'll be on the internet, on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. Are you also, mm-hmm. is that what it is on TikTok and
That's and what all it that? Is everywhere. Yeah.
Okay. Troy it's, Walker ESQ. Yep. You should buy TroyWalkerESQ.com immediately.
No.
Unless it's already gone. Yes. No, not you. Not them. They're not.
Oh, me. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
You. Yeah, yeah. Rangers.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
They don't have that kind of. They're just like, no.
You're right.
Not going to buy his thing.
You're right.
That'd be the worst. It'd be what a setup. Okay. Welcome to the program. The album's been out about a month, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
and it's
came
on
out
all the
end
things.
Of February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it on like the Apple and the Amazon mm-hmm. and the Spotify yep. and the, you can buy it.
All
it
the
might
places.
Even be on Bandcamp. You might just want to, I just want to send him $10. That's what I'm saying. You run into,
please
you
do.
Run into Troy Walker Esquire. You hand him a 20. That's what I'm saying.
Please
it's
do.
What I, it's what I always tell him to do for me. And they do it. It's very, very funny. They come to shows and hand me what they call a sweaty wad of 20s, because that's what I call it. But it's usually not sweaty. It's usually completely crisp. And but we're going to talk video games. It's been weeks since we've talked about video games. And this is one that I played it once, maybe.
Really?
The one we're starting out on. I don't even know what platform are you playing GoldenEye in the heyday, in the day.
So it was on Nintendo 64.
Okay.
I believe it came out in 1997.
Okay.
And it changed my life.
Did
that
it?
Game changed my life. Yes. I always loved video games. Like, I always loved them. But
sure.
You know, I was playing like Mario, and I was like a Genesis kid. And I was
okay.
like playing like a lot of Sonic.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I had my Bubsy days.
Right.
And I used to like a lot of the, you know, like remember when they used to have branded games, but they were good? Like the Chester the Cheetah games or like Cool Spot?
Absolutely. Absolutely not. There was, wait.
Oh, really?
There were video games that were like, these are Cheetos, but there's also yeah. a game.
It was Chester Cheetah from Chester the Cheetos from the Cheetos had like a series of games, and they're great. They're really good.
What are, And were they on Nintendo 64? Were they on all the platforms?
No, these were
they
like,
were just computers.
These were like Genesis, Super Nintendo games.
Okay. All right.
And they were great. And then Cool Spot, like the 7-Up Cool Spot, had multiple games, and they're great. Ooh. They're really good.
I will be looking these up and seeing if I can just get some sort of simulator.
Surprisingly solid platforms.
Okay, so were they side scrollers? What were
they? Yeah, platformers. Yeah.
Okay.
Platformers, kind of like the Mickey and the it was like the Enchanted Kingdom or something like that.
The Golden Key or the key one? Yeah.
Yeah, they played very similarly to that. Well, the Cool Spot ones did. And then the Chester the Cheeto ones were Chester Cheeto ones were more like quick side scrolling, you know, where stuff's kind of coming at you.
That's what I would imagine. You would be jumping and you would be swinging and you would be possibly fighting something, or there would be fire.
They're good.
Well, it's fine if you're 8 and you're psyched. So you were playing a lot of that. And then
playing
a
lot of that kind of classic stuff, you know.
Sure.
Your Nintendo stuff. And then my buddy had that game. He had a Nintendo 64. We both did, but I hadn't even heard of it.
Right, GoldenEye.
And
James Bond.
And that game, I got so into this game. I mean, like, the first time I played it, I was like, what even is this?
Had you seen a James Bond movie? Did you know who James Bond was?
I knew who James Bond was.
You knew that he was a
spy. This would have come out maybe when I was in, like, 6th or 7th grade.
Right, so you weren't watching a lot of James Bond.
No, I was aware of him as an artifact of the pop culture, but I was not well versed in Bond.
If I named these shows, Artifact of Pop Culture would be the name of the show. Yes.
But I got so into that game, it turned me into a Bond fan because I played the game, and then I wanted to see the movie, and then that's one of the better James Bond movies I've probably seen of all now.
Okay, is that the one with Pierce Brosnan?
It is. It's Pierce Brosnan's first.
Okay, and GoldenEye. He had previously or almost concurrently had been on a show called Remington Steele.
Yeah.
Where he played essentially James Bond, but lighter TV fare.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it made sense for him to be. This guy clearly needs to be. Little did they know that he'd be in Mamma Mia just 20 years later.
I know.
Right. So what is, do you remember the plot of Golden? I do not.
Yes.
Remember the plot? And because they also put it in the game, I would imagine.
Yeah, the game is honestly it's almost like set piece for set piece. The only thing is there are a couple additional levels that aren't really actually it's kind of set piece for set piece from the movie.
What is it? I don't remember the movie, and I don't remember the game.
So the plot of the movie people have had since 1993, I believe, to see it. So I'm not going to ruin it.
No, spoiler alert. You're fine. It's a James Bond movie. Guess what happens? Okay, go ahead.
This is a dark forest. I'm going to assume people have seen it.
Yes, you are not wrong.
So the plot of the movie is James gets betrayed by 006. But he thinks 006 is like, they're like friends at the top. And then he thinks 006 has been killed in an operation. And then it turns out that actually 006 was a Lien's Cossack and is actually hates the British, which is understandable. And has flipped.
Especially in 96.
Yeah, okay. he's actually faked his death and he went rogue, and now he's the villain, and James Bond has to go and take him down before he can cause havoc.
I can't remember.
I believe he was going to try to start a war between the United States and Russia. Because that happens like at the end of the Cold War. That's like the first post-Cold War Bond movie.
Oh, right. Right. That's right. Because it was the wall fell in 89. I was just in Berlin 2 days ago. So, So I have too much information about East Berlin and the wall. And, so that's the premise of that one. 006 is a double agent and has gone rogue, faked his own death. And is Judy Dench playing?
Judy Dench is M. Yeah.
Is Judy M is, in that one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's a whole reimagining. It's like, you know, right. They had the Timothy Dalton ones in the 80s, and then they go, what if M's a woman and James is like kind of in between? He's like closer to Roger Moore than,
than Daniel, what's his face? And so,
well, yeah, it was
pre that. So, okay.
Yeah.
So in the game, you play James Bond?
You play James Bond, and you basically are going from, you know, like I said, like set piece to set piece, and follows the story of the film. And you just get to shoot people in all the levels instead of they dispense with all the dialogue.
Oh,
the movie's too bogged down in talk.
Right, right. Right. There's no need for a plot. It's James Bond. What he does is kill people. So, so is it an open world? I forget what the game is.
No, the 64, they're linear levels, but there is a freedom of movement in them that at the time felt very, open.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, you had to, almost like Mario 64 was like, you know, like, what is this with the analog stick? And it was like, what? Like, I can just.
Was it kind of Doom? Was it sort of that first-person shooter kind of look to it?
Yeah.
Where you're wandering and all you can see is your gun?
Yeah. It's your hand and your gun. But you've got a watch with gadgets, and it has, like, one of the best, like, pause menu soundtracks ever, you know?
That's awesome. Do you know who did the soundtrack, or?
I have no idea. But it's just, like, a really smooth, like.
Sure.
Bond,
sure.
Like when you put that on, it's like, oh man, I would cook to this.
And so, okay, so you're going through, you're essentially going through different secure locations, shooting everybody, trying to get to 006.
Well, it's like, there's like this whole plot where like you know, it starts at the very beginning when Bond jumps off the dam as part of a mission, and then he's supposed to meet up with 006 at that. And then at that, that's when 006 fakes his death. And then you have to escape the dam because your friend's just been killed, or you think he's just been killed. And now you have to like fight your way through, you know, off a runway and catch a plane and then take that plane away. And then it's like figuring out, then it's like a bunch of levels figuring out who's actually the villain. It's
right.
Great.
So are you, is it also, remember Prince of Persia and you had to time stuff right?
Yeah.
Is it a little bit of that too, where there's some acrobatics or no?
No. It's pretty much like.
Very straightforward. Shoot. Run. You're on the plane.
Well, you have objectives. It's like stuff you got to check off. You know, I used to play on 00 mode, which was, you know, pretty hard. So you had like all these extra objectives. So it was like, you know, once you got out of the facility, it was like you needed to take out the machine guns because they'd shoot your plane out of the air. So then you had to like, you had to do that. You needed to get a key. You needed to, there were also some rocket launchers that you needed to take out. The easiest way to do it was to go get this tank that's like off to the side. So you go steal this tank. And then, like, you're being shot at the whole time in this tank, and you have to take out these, like, anti-aircraft machine guns, these, like, anti-aircraft missile things. and then
so is there a puzzle? Is there a puzzle angle to it?
I mean, or, you have to find the stuff. Oh, and it's like you only have a you don't have like a crazy amount of time because the plane is already leaving, so you gotta like catch. Well, no, wait, no, that's not right. That's in the movie, but in the game, the plane's sitting there, but you have to. It's like, so you actually you could run around for kind of a while. Now that I think about it.
Okay, and there's and it, there's a plane, there's a helicopter, there's no helicopter.
Tank and plane.
Okay, yeah. So here's what I have just pulled up, which you can't see. That makes it even more fun for me. is that someone on the internet, you guys, made a chart. Shocking no one. So you have to neutralize all the alarms on the dam and then install a covert modem.
Oh, that's earlier. That's the dam level. That's the dam level. You have to neutralize all the alarms, install a covert modem, go underground, set the backup download on the computer. So you have to fight your way through the dam. And then there's like, I think one other jump thing you have to do. Yeah. And then you got to bungee jump off. Yeah.
Okay. And then there's a chemical plant.
Yeah. The facility. Yeah.
That's we call it the facility, Jackie. I don't think you understand.
It's the name. It's the name of
it's
the
it's the name. It's not just some random chemical plant. It's called the facility. So you have to gain entrance to the laboratory area.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that like? You blow through a door or something?
No, you have to. You basically when you bungee jump down. Then you end up in like, you start off the level in the like air ducts because in the movie he parachutes in and it's like his way into the thing.
He just slides right in. Yep.
Yeah. And then you jump down into the men's bathroom, the upper level bathroom. And then you take out some guards there. And then you got to go down and you got to knock out some guys. And then there's a terminal that you have to kill the guys in there, open that, and then there you use the terminal to open the other door. And then the easiest way is to get this scientist to drop a key card that'll give you kind of access to everything. And you basically do that by putting a gun on him.
Right. Yeah, right, right. You're just like, I'm going to need that card. It's because it says gate entrance to laboratory area, contact double agent.
Yeah, so there's another scientist who's like a double agent, and he will give you this key card, this keypad decoder thing that you can use to get into the other secure area. But before you do that, you have to blow up like there's something you got to do in like the bottling area or something, and then
you have to join up with 006, completely destroy the science tanks. And minimize harm to the scientists.
You can't just be killing scientists.
Russian soldiers. Russian soldiers, they're stormtroopers. You knock yourself out. Okay, then you have to escape. You have to find the plane ignition key.
Yeah.
And you have to destroy heavy gun emplacements, the missile battery, and then escape in the plane. And then there's a snowfield.
So when you, then the level after that is like, there's like a satellite dish and it's a pretty cool level. It's got another great soundtrack and you're sort of like out in the field, in the snow. And
do you ever just sit around and listen to video game soundtracks? I know there's like, what's his name does? There's a guy that does that.
No, I don't think I've ever done. Well, no, that's not true, because Sonic the Hedgehog 2 had like a couple things that I used to really
that you'd
dig,
put in
actually.
The mix. all-
I used to just like, you know, I don't know, summer vacation. I don't know. What am I doing? I'm hanging out. I'm reading. Put that. Yeah, you're reading. You know, you could do the.
That's nice. The old background sound music. Test. Yes.
Remember the old sound test on those games? I would do that.
Yes. It's the end of the night. underground base. So you enter the base via a ventilation tower.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're supposed to sneak down in there to try to steal the GoldenEye key.
Now, what does GoldenEye mean?
It's like a sophisticated space weapons system.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it has like this cool key, and you're trying to get down there to steal that.
Did you ever see a movie called Real Genius with Val Kilmer?
It sounds familiar. It sounds like a USA Up All Night thing.
If it isn't, it ought to be, because it's just about how it's about cool kid geniuses at some school, and mm-hmm. their professor is trying to get them to invent something, which would be a space weapon. And they don't know it's a space weapon. They think that it's going to be used for good, even though they're making what is clearly a laser bolt from space. And they're going to shoot a laser bolt from space, and they can kill anybody in the world from it. And they recalibrate it. Spoiler alert, Real Genius, 1912. They recalibrate it to the end of the movie. They recalibrate it and put it in this guy's house, and they've filled his house with popcorn. And so his entire house is full of popcorn. The 80s were nuts, you guys.
Anyway. I'm just cracking up at the idea of Val Kilmer in 1912.
That's where he belongs.
So what we're going to do, see? We're going to shoot him from space.
He was on the moon.
Charleston's. Does the Charleston. Yes.
He's looking forward to flappers in 10 years.
Yeah.
So the underground base, you have to get that key and leave the original. You have to copy it. You have to get personnel to activate a computer. You have to download a data from the computer. Then you have to photograph the main video screen.
Yeah.
So you have a all camera kinds of on gadgets. You? Or?
Oh, you have all kinds of gadgets because you're Bond. So you've got all kinds of little, and you access them in your Omega Seamaster watch, which is also the pause screen. It's the pause screen. Okay. I remember that specifically because this game is responsible for me asking my mother to buy me a $3,500 luxury watch when I was a child. For being an eighth grader going like, can I have an Omega Seamaster for Christmas?
Seems unlikely, son. Doesn't mean I don't love you.
Yes.
But no.
Yes.
So then you're in the cruiser once you get out of the silo. Wait, no, you got to go to the silo next. And plant bombs in fuel rooms.
Yeah. I used to play that one a lot.
That level?
The silo, yeah.
Yeah. You retrieve satellite circuitry. You minimize scientists. Mm-hmm. Stop shooting the scientists.
Yeah.
And then you have to rescue some hostages in a cruiser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And disarm a bomb. Frigate. There's an engine room bomb and a bridge bomb. Mm-hmm. And then there's a tracking bug on a helicopter you got to plant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're back in that snowfield. Guess what?
Yeah. But this time it's different.
It's a different one. There's surveillance equipment. It's the same one.
It's the same one, but it's different because it's like darker. It's like at night this time.
There you go.
And you have different objectives because it's like they've upped security since the last time you were there. There's other cameras, there's other alarms, and the base when you first did it wasn't complete, and now it's more complete, and so you have to sneak back in there, but you get arrested at the end.
Ooh, all right. And what is the Spetsnaz support aircraft? Do you remember a Spetsnaz?
It's like a helicopter thing.
It's a Russian helicopter thing. So now you are arrested and you are taken to the underground base.
Yes.
And you have to compare staff and casualty lists. Wow, there's an admin kind of angle to this video game.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Myst? Did you ever?
You know, I only played a demo of Myst.
It, if you love puzzles, that's the way to go. I spent weeks in the library. I was certain that the secret to the game was reading and watching every video in the library. It turns out,
really?
It doesn't have anything to do with it. Turns out that's just that's just flavor text. And so my
puzzle games are tough.
Wait. Puzzle games are tough.
Your nephew what? Your nephew?
My nephew, he eventually beat it, but you had to keep like a log of the different things because there was no one on the island.
Mm-hmm.
You just wandered around the island and then you would find different clues and stuff. And I was I'm in the library just reading all the books. And you know, when he was at school, I would play it for hours and he'd come home and he'd be like, so from like junior high going, well, what did you find? And I was like, nothing. It's weird. There's a lot of people that are mad. And but he eventually did figure it out, but he had to keep like, it was like an admitted, like a log, like a notebook.
Yeah. Puzzle games are tough for me, which you might be shocked by given how much I'm like, and then you shoot this guy and then you shoot that guy. But my girlfriend loves them. She's been like, she beat The Witness, which is Myst-ish, I believe.
Okay.
It's the same similar thing. You're on an island and it's just puzzles.
Okay.
I think it's a little, I think story-wise and everything, it's vastly different than Myst,
of
but
course.
It's very clearly influenced by Myst. But she'll play that stuff and she'll have an entire log of how you solve different things. And then she played Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, which is like a really cool
puzzle
game. Yeah. Wow. Really, really cool. That's like maybe her favorite game right now.
Well,
like she's blitzed through it.
Yeah.
But it was like beautiful mind. Like she was having to keep like so many, it was crazy. I was like, I would never do this.
Right.
I would never.
This is not for me. Right. So, okay. So my ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation. I have to tell you that I, as I said last week, I don't like to buy meat at the grocery store. I like to usually go to a butcher, but I have to say that I have started getting Omaha Steaks and it's pretty great. They deliver them all to your door. They're individually wrapped. Last week I said that I made stew meat. Guess what? They were tri-tips. I didn't even remember what I picked, but I was eating. I made the tri-tips. I did this amazing stir fry with them. And Andy and our friend Kevin were like, this isn't normal stew meat. This is really good beef. So just know that you should remember what you ordered but it was delicious and I recommend Omaha Steaks and it's really nice to get them delivered to the door, obviously. And what did I get? I made burgers last week and I also this week I made pork chops. I had boneless pork chops. I think I might try the bone-in pork chops next time because I'm a huge fan of skin-on, bone-in. That's my thing. But they have flexible plans with fast delivery, obviously. And with the pork, I had to, because they weren't bone-in, I had to braise them. So I braised it in some chicken broth and some onions and garlic and a little bit of, I think it was fish sauce. Anyway, but they have a lot of different kinds of meats. So they have all the different kinds of beef, obviously, Omaha Steaks. And then they have pork and seafood and dessert, I guess, and burgers. I've had the burgers and I've had the pork and there is salmon. Next week, I'll tell you about the salmon. Anyway, it's easy to, everything's individually wrapped. So it's easy to cook. And it was so good. It was so tender. It was so delicious. Everything I've tried. So what you should know is that you can taste the difference with Omaha Steaks. And don't settle for grocery store proteins again. Get flavorful, high-quality proteins delivered by visiting omahasteaks.com plus $35 off when you use promo code DORK, D-O-R-K, at checkout. So that's omahasteaks.com, code DORK. Terms apply. See site for details. Let's get back into the show. You recover the GoldenEye OPS manual, and then you escape with Natalia. Who's Natalia? Yeah. Oh, Natalia is the... Is that the girl that he's got to say?
She's the Bond girl in GoldenEye in the movie.
Sure. Who played her in the movie? Any idea?
I used to know this. Russian actress.
Okay.
I used to know. I couldn't tell you right
Everybody else knows. So it's okay that we don't. They're right now. They're having the time of their lives yelling at their phones. So,
I considered that.
It's all good. Cause all of a sudden you're in the bronze statue park, Troy Conrad.
Yeah.
And then you have to confront or contact Valentin.
Yeah. Zhukovsky. He's like a Russian sort of oligarch operator spy guy. He's like a former KGB guy who you know, in the fall of the Soviet Union has become kind of like involved in a lot of different areas, you know.
Wow. So based on fact, and then you confront and unmask Janus.
Mm-hmm. And you find out that is 006, Alex Trevelyan, your buddy who you thought was dead. And he's actually
Janus. And then you locate a helicopter, you rescue Natalia, and you find a flight recorder.
Yeah, because the helicopter explodes, and so you need to grab the flight recorder, because if I remember right, it like tells you where.
There's like 20 levels to this thing.
Yeah, because then there's three special ones after you beat the story.
Oh, the main, because you escape from the interrogation room, you find Natalia again, she's constantly waiting off you guys. You recover the helicopter black box, and then you escape with Natalia. You contact Valentin again. You pursue Orimov and Natalia. Did she get kidnapped again?
Yeah, she gets kidnapped because you escape from that statue thing. You get the thing, and then you get captured basically by this like Russian military guy, and they put you in this I think they call it the library, but it's sort of like a KGB government facility in St. Petersburg, and you have to escape from that. You're being interrogated, and you have to escape from interrogation and then get and accomplish and then all your objectives in there, find her. You guys get out, and then she gets like captured, and then you get in a tank and you're running a tank through the streets of St. Petersburg.
Yes.
And you're like blowing stuff up, chasing them. And then they get on a train, and then you get on the train and you fight your way through the train. And then it's
and try
cool.
Not
you
to have kill a laser too many civilians. Watch- oh yeah.
Oh, well, it's like a military train. So you can shoot everybody. And then you have like a laser. Yeah, the train has a bomb in it, and you have a laser in your watch, and you have to use it to cut open a hole in the floor to get out before the bomb explodes and get away. It's pretty crazy.
All right.
It's pretty great.
That is,
in 1997, this was like, what is happening?
Right, it's blowing your mind. So, yeah, you have to crack Boris's password, escape to safety, destroy a drone guns. Now you're in the jungle?
Yeah, the jungle is like...
The jungle because of you're Russia? Going,
No. Because 006 Janus has like their big like evil satellite dish thing that lets them control the GoldenEye in like on like a tropical island.
Some sort of tropical.
I think it's Cuba, actually. I think it's Cuba. And you crash in the Cuban jungle, and then you have to fight your way through the jungle.
Wow.
And then once you fight your way through your jungle, you get into the control.
You go to eliminate Xenia, and you have to blow up an ammo dump. And then you escort Natalia again and to the Janus base. And then you're at the secret base where you protect Natalia.
Yeah, because
she knows. Satellite.
Yeah, because she's like a tech person. That's how she got wrapped up in all this, because she was a computer scientist person working on the GoldenEye thing, like in the other base.
So he's got to sort of protect her while she types in
while she's trying to like raise the thing and like deal with it. And all these guys are trying to come and kill her. So you got to kill all those guys. And then after that, you go up to
the pump facility.
It's like the caverns or whatever. And you have to fight your way through that.
Right. There's pump controls and more pump controls. And then there's a master control console. And then you use the radio to contact Jack Wade. And you try not to kill too many scientists again. And then you destroy the control console. And then you settle the score with 006.
Yeah. Yeah. On a satellite dish. You basically are chasing him around a big in-the-air satellite complex thing.
Wow. How long did it... Like, this has got to be like an 18-hour game. Like, I just picture you playing it and your mom going, pause it. Dinner is now.
Well, you know, you could save. You would just do each level at a time. And, you know, playing through originally, you know, you didn't know where everything was. So stuff was slower. You'd get killed a lot.
Sure.
So stuff was slower. And so by the
time you could save,
you would just slowly beat these levels. Yeah. You would just be like, oh, I'll restart that level I got killed on. And then you, once you finish that, then you got to the next one. But once you knew, like, what to do and everything to do, you could probably beat it in a few hours.
Sure.
It wasn't, like, the levels are, once you know what you're doing, I mean, I'm sure there are people who can speed run that whole game in, like, an hour and a half.
Right, right. I mean, once you've played it enough, you could just, like, I'm just going to play it because it's fun. I want to, I just want to go from level to level and do all these things. And then there's two bonuses. There's something in the Aztec and something in Egypt.
Yeah, I thought it was three.
Well, the antenna is 18. You destroy control console, settle the score with Trevelyan.
Yeah.
That sounds Armenian. And then the Aztec thing is you reprogram shuttle guidance and launch the shuttle. And Egypt is recover the golden gun and defeat Baron Samedi,
I believe. Those are like old Connery, because like the Aztec one is like a Moonraker mission.
Oh, okay.
And then the Egyptian one is like from the man with the golden gun.
Ah, okay.
So like in the Aztec one, you gotta like fight Jaws, if I remember right, and and he's like dual wielding M16s. It's crazy.
the shark?
No, Jaws like the Bond villain. He's like a henchman. He's a henchman. Yeah, he has big jaws.
You know the thing about James Bond? Like I've never been able to read the books. I want. Mm-hmm. I've tried to a couple of times, and they're not particularly made for me. I mean, there's like, I remember I read, I think his first one, and it was the entire book was about how he had a license to kill. And he was psyched about it because he was a psychopath.
Yeah.
He was like, you can't tell me I can't kill you because they're not going to convict me. It's going to be fine.
And, I work for the queen.
I work for the
lady
queen
with
the
corgis. She tells me to kill you.
Right. And if I've made a mistake, she's the one who says, there's plenty of people. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And then she has a crumpet. That's how little she's worried about it.
Right. So what that was like your first big game. The first game you ever played that sort of brought you into it.
No. I'd been gaming for like, since I was very little. Yeah.
Of course, Mario. Yeah. There's Zelda. You know,
I used to play the old Tecmo Bowl. Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, Tecmo Bowl was like the old, like, regular Nintendo, like the NES football game.
Okay.
Very iconic. Yeah. Very iconic.
Right. I played uprights, so and then I never had a console until I got a Game Boy, and then there was productivity down. So every time a new console was introduced into my life, I would try not to start it.
Okay.
Because I like the Oculus. I'd love to do that Oculus. I have a Batman Arkham.
On the Oculus. Those are great.
And I can't. I'm trapped in the tutorial. I can't figure out how to throw the batarang. I can't get the timing right. So I'm just I'm trapped underneath Arkham in essentially the sewer because I get the way to hit the button is I have to throw the batarang and hit the button. So
hilarious. Hilarious.
Yes. So there were other games. I only remembered GoldenEye. And granted, we are almost at 40 minutes. So what other games you want to talk about?
Let's see.
What are you playing
so
right
I also
now?
Have,
yeah.
Oh, well, right now.
That might be fun.
My girlfriend's really into Harry Potter. So we actually just started the Hogwarts sort of action RPG thing, which is quite good. And we've been playing Alan Wake too.
What is Alan Wake? How are you spelling that?
Alan Wake. The second Alan Wake is like, it's great. It's like this sort of really dark, almost noirish game about a guy who's a writer. And he's in this sort of like supernatural, like, thing where it's almost hard to explain, but basically it's about a guy who writes novels, but then
and his name is Alan Wake, as in stay
Alan
up
Wake,
there was
yeah.
a funeral.
Yeah.
Wake. Okay.
Wake. Yeah, but it's great. Right. It's very, very, yeah, very atmospheric, and it's, you know, Remedy, so it's kind of they make all these great like atmospheric kind of like. Sometimes supernatural, sometimes more. It's a little puzzly because you play two characters. One of them is an FBI agent who's also sort of the subject in his novels, but it's like his novel and real life start to converge kind of. But she's an FBI agent and she starts to investigate these sort of supernatural kind of killings, and so there's like a puzzly aspect to finding clues and putting that stuff together, and then there's like the world he inhabits, which is this sort of like very strange kind of like noir New York kind of not New York thing. That's just when he's going to the late night show.
He goes to New York.
he's like kind of in that, but there's like it's like a Seattle area is where the game sort of takes place in Pacific Northwest.
Is it supposed to be scary?
Yeah, kind of. It's a little bit horror. Yeah.
Okay. Cause is it serial killery where you have to solve crimes?
Yeah. A little, but it's like broader than that because it's like there are crimes, but then and they're like these weird murders, but they're also kind of like possessed. It's really hard to explain.
It sounds amazingly weird,
but it is amazing.
Okay, and you're playing the first one or the second one?
The second one. The first one was on the original Xbox, or maybe right. the Xbox 360. But I want to say original Xbox.
Alan Wake 2, a 2023 survival horror game developed by Remedy Entertainment, shifts the genre from the original action horror to full-blown survival experience. There's two playable characters, the duality of the real world and the dark place, a twisted reality. And the narrative is inspired by media like Twin Peaks, True Detective, and Silence of the Lambs, and features dark doppelgangers and ambitious bizarre story. So that's what you said. You said it's hard to explain. You're like,
yeah,
it's an ambitious, bizarre story. So fair it's, enough.
Yes. Yes. And it was, you know, I feel like they said it in a much more succinct and coherent way than I did.
They had a lot less
ums.
Yes.
Significantly less ums.
Right. Right.
But yeah, all those Remedy games are great. I mean, Control is one of the ones on my list. And that's in a similar world.
And is it horror as well or Control?
It's kind of like, sort of like an action supernatural horror noir thing, but it's not super hoary, horror. Okay. But you play a woman who goes for a job interview at the Federal Bureau of Control. It's a government organization that deals with like supernatural events, basically. And they have a big building in Manhattan, but you only see it if you know you're looking for it, basically. And otherwise, you kind of goes past
Men in
you.
Black kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. And you go in, and then through some sort of strange happenings, she basically becomes she's almost chosen as the new head of the agency. Okay. And the agency is under attack by like sort of these like dark place beings. These games exist in the same universe, Control and Alan Wake 2.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And then she's got all these cool powers, and she's got this gun that can do different things. And then she basically is trying to solve the mystery, halt the attack on the agency, and figure it, like stop the thing. And it's amazing. I honestly, it's probably maybe my favorite game of the last, like, I guess
10 years or
5 or 6 years. Yeah.
Okay.
It's great. It's so good.
Wow.
Can't recommend it enough. I know you guys are not console people, but I truly cannot recommend it enough.
Well, I mean, he can do it, but if I start, I won't stop. So, it's a strategy guide. Wait, strategy game? And you have to find the janitor. You have to welcome to the oldest house. There's an unknown caller. There's a directorial override. The old boys club. Threshold, my brother's keeper, the face of the enemy, finish tango. The hell's that mean?
These are all different like missions and stuff. But
okay, Polaris and take control. And then there's a pile of side quests that you can do.
Yeah, there's so many different things. It's so good. It's so good.
So
I can't even describe how
right.
good it is.
So you and is that open world?
No. More open world because it's kind of linear, but everything is contained in the building, in the office building.
Right.
Everything happens in the office building.
Right. The game sounds enormous, but not necessarily an open world. Like you can't just weed off. You're driven to achieve the next objective or you die. Okay.
Well, yeah, you have to. Well, no, it's kind of like. You will be like, oh, okay, I want to do this one. I'm going to go investigate this thing, and that's on this floor, and I'll take the elevator to that floor. But I don't have to do that. I can go over here and do this side quest, or I can do this, or I can do that. And they're all on different floors and stuff of this office building.
Okay. But it's set entirely in an office building.
Pretty much, yeah. That and some sort of surrealist spaces that you get sort of transported to.
So what makes you like it so much? Is it because with GoldenEye, you were like, yeah, you just get to run around and shoot everybody. And then you hit buttons and you tap your watch and then you win. So with this one, this doesn't seem to be a shoot 'em up kind of thing. This seems like a spooky, like more slide around kind of thing.
There's a decent amount of shooting. It's a lot of shooting, but it also is like powers where she can basically grab any inanimate object in the room and like bring it to her and throw it at like enemies. And she can,
Okay.
She can graze, like break up the earth and like bring, you know, grab it and chuck it or use it as a shield, or like she has all these like X-Men powers.
And okay, so it kind of feels, yeah. So it feels, does it feel, is it just that the graphics are, like it's just the world itself is beautiful to kind of wander around in?
The world is so, the world building is so well done. The story is amazing.
Okay.
It's a very compelling story. The gameplay is like perfect. It feels good to play. It's fun right. to play. It always feels like you're always right. having a good time.
Right. It doesn't feel, it's not, it's complicated enough to entertain and to keep you interested, but it's not.
Yeah.
Sometimes the game is too complicated and you're like, I'm not, I'm done. And so, I mean, that doesn't mean it's not good for anybody. Like I've done, Mike Drucker has done a couple of different episodes mm-hmm. about horror video games. And, mm-hmm. And so there's this tension in horror games where you feel like he told me about some Oculus. It was a VR game where you start the game and you are playing a video game. You are sitting on a couch playing a game in front of you and you hear your mom in the kitchen
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden the sound goes away
mm-hmm.
and you have the impression that there's someone standing behind you and you should turn around, but you don't want to turn around because, mm-hmm. but you're in VR. So you literally have to actually turn around. And he says, it's super scary. And, and then you're like, oh my God, I gotta run. So
I haven't played an Oculus game.
Right.
So I'm unfamiliar with that one. But there are, you know, it's weird. Horror games don't generally tend to be my cup of tea. That said, like Resident Evil 2 is one of my favorite games ever.
And that was scary. Diablo? Did you ever play Diablo?
I did play Diablo. Yeah.
Also super creepy.
Yeah, Diablo is fun, but I feel like Diablo is very like, you know, it doesn't feel like, ah, you know, it's, there's no like
not a lot of jump scare.
Out.
No, yeah, it's actually like, just
oh,
tense.
There's demons.
Right.
Yeah.
It's there's a level of tension that I don't enjoy. Because I you know, I love video games so much that, but I know so little. I mean, it's just like, I might as well say, you know what I like? Music. There's no, you can't say I love video games and then not get super specific.
Right.
Because
yeah.
there is so many different kinds. And there is, you know, there's, it's like saying I like to read. There's just,
yeah.
there's too many options. And so.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. So Control is, and Remedy looks like the kind of design team that makes a fair amount of that kind of scary or paranormal kind of stuff.
Yeah, they do. They have a really specific style and world building kind of thing. Like they did the Max Payne games, like, you know,
okay.
they have a very, it's, I don't know. Nobody else is really kind of doing their vibe. And I love their games. I always have.
Okay.
But yeah.
You got another one on that list? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh,
Star Wars.
That's a Star Wars.
Star Wars. Now we get really into the dork weeds, you know?
Right, right. That is because that one's just talking. It's more like GoldenEye than it is like Control or.
Probably. I guess it's really kind of, well, it's really
it's,
kind
it's
of its
mission
own thing.
Drop driven, isn't it?
It is sort of mission driven, but it's, yeah, I guess it's mission driven. It's objective driven. You have like, you need to go do this. You need to talk to this guy. You need to, but it also is, you know, this big expansive Star Wars thing where you build like a crew and you know, it's an RPG where there's dice rolls and stuff in the combat and all that kind of thing. And so it's great.
And wait a minute. I probably not think is now, is this a tabletop game or is this a,
No, it's a video game.
It's a video game that has dice roll in it.
Yeah, well, because it's like it's got a really unique combat system that's kind of hybrid, real time and turn based. And okay. So you're not like slashing really. I mean, you have your lightsaber or your guns or whatever, but you have to choose, you know, when you fire against an enemy, and it's kind of, you can move around, whatever, but there's a dice roll behind your attacks, when you are fired upon or attacked, and like all there's dice rolls happening behind all of that. So
okay. So it is more RPG than anything else.
It's an RPG. It's like, yeah, it's an RPG.
I think I've played it as a tabletop RPG.
Why
I think I thought it was, because if there was a tabletop RPG of the Republic, what's it called again?
Knights of the Old Republic.
The Old Republic. If I were to make that into a video game, I would probably strip out all of the cool RPG parts of it and make it just to run around and shoot people. But they keep all of that. Or
it's a very, it all happens in the background, but you'll see the numbers come up. Like, you know, you hit a guy with a lightsaber and it's going like, well, that's 20, you did 25 damage or whatever.
Okay.
You know,
and are you playing with other people online?
No, it's just you. It's like a single player game. And then there are like NPC companions that can become part of your like ship crew as you go and go through the story and proceed through the story. And
that sounds really cool.
Quests, and it's so good. It's so good.
Is that on PS5?
You can download it. It's an old game. That game is an original Xbox game. Original Xbox PlayStation 2?
Okay. Maybe that's why I thought. It was my favorite PS2 game, by the way, that Andy showed me when we were dating back in the 12th century. Was called Stretch Panic, and it was from Japan, and it was about a little girl who has to go into the demon world to save her sister. I've never played it all the way through. I just thought it was such funny because there were these spinning like levels, and the demons would be, and you'd have to defeat the demons, and then you'd jump a level. And it was literally just flying plates, and levels were each plate, right? So there'd be four demons, and the demons were just kind of sumo wrestling lady looking people, but with a ponytail and giant boobs. And you couldn't, if you knocked them off of the spinning thing, that's not how you defeated them. You had to run around and pull their ponytail like four times, and that would make them explode or go away. But if you knocked them off of the platter, their boobs would flatten out and turn into helicopters and fly them back up to the platter. As boobs do as you age. And these were old demons. But but it always made me laugh. And it was called Stretch Panic. And I think it was Stretch Panic 2. That's the one that I played ever. But that was the only PS2 game I ever really played. But I like the idea of this Old Republic business. I've weeded it, of course. But
It's great. Cannot recommend. You should try it because it's so much of it is dialogue options. It's like you go and you talk to this guy, and there are all these characters around, and you're in a thing, and you're like, oh, I want to join whatever. I want to do these battles. I want to be, you know, you talk to a guy and there'll be dialogue options, and you follow all that, go through that stuff to learn new information and get quests and get places to go. And then all the combat is almost turn-based. So it's not like a super like, oh, I got to be, you know, like stressed out running around kind of thing. It's it's great, but it's so good.
I am currently playing a tabletop game called Scum and Villainy, which is a Star Wars tabletop role-playing game with sort of the VIN number scraped off it. So like I play a Jedi archaeologist where we all have different, like my character is sort of essentially like, do you remember Belloc from Indiana Jones? He was the bad guy archaeologist, the French.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I kind of play a version of him because I'm constantly trying to find Jedi artifacts to sell them. And there's actually a very cool comic book, the character that it's actually based on as well, which is called Dr. Aphra. If you get a chance to read that comic book, it's so fucking cool. It's a Star Wars era. And she is essentially Belloc. She's essentially a piece of shit archaeologist. And she works for Vader and then realizes she shouldn't double cross Vader, but she can't help it. And so
why?
Cause she's an asshole and an idiot. And so, Vader has sent people after her and they consistently show up in other arcs of this comic book where all of a sudden you're like, oh, Vader's guys are back. Okay. Run. And, cause he's hired bounty hunters. And like in one of them, he captures her again and he's like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to give you this task and you work for me now. And she's like, okay. And then she escapes only to be chased again because Vader doesn't give up. What are you, nuts? And he has unlimited. He's like the queen with a crumpet going, go find Dr. Aphra. Anyway, but
bring them to me.
Yes.
And then he bites it. Tries to put it through his mask.
But Scum and Villainy is actually a very fun tabletop game, role-playing game. That's
okay.
It's kind of it's either Star Wars, it can be Star Trek or Firefly, like it could be any one of those without the IP, right? And it's pretty fun. Yeah. But this, that sounds great.
It's really good. It's really, really good. It's so much fun. And it's like the first, I mean, I played like Zelda as a kid on like Game Boy. Like I played like Link's Awakening or whatever, but that one got me going like, okay, RPGs, I'm in. I'm fully in. You've got me.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you can role play. That's the fun part.
Well, yeah. Cause I feel like before that I thought they were all Final Fantasy, which like I wasn't. Those don't work for me. They're a little too.
Oh. Well, and the interstitial videos were interminable.
Yeah.
Right? Like and you're like, I don't care about these people. Chop, chop on letting me go through the woods and fight some bad guys. And
but that was part of it too. I'm roaming through the woods and there's random encounters. Like, I was just trying to go to this thing. I don't want to fight another wombat in the forest. Right. I wanted to do the story stuff.
Yeah. There was it a Lord of the Rings? It was a Lord of the Rings PC game where I think you had to fight so many rats to get even enough levels to keep going. And I got bored at rats. I'm like, I can't kill any more rats. Yeah.
That sort of like, forget what they call it. What do they call it? Like, it's like XP farming or whatever.
Oh,
something like that.
It's like that, but it might actually be that.
It's something like that, but that it makes me crazy that like, well, I want to go from here to here. And between there, I have to have 35 random encounters that I cannot avoid.
Right. And you have to grind them out.
And snakes and I hate it so much.
That is a broken game mechanic, as far as I'm concerned. Just give me the right tool and put me into it and let me die until I learn how to use it.
Yeah, I spend all day doing things I don't want to do. This is not supposed to be that.
And this wasn't one of them. Troy Walker, no, you should know.
This was not one.
That's right. That's right. And this, it's been an hour, just so you know. Guys, we talked about three video games. And then I, of course, weeded off like I do. You've done vital work, Rangers, listening to this. Now, what you should do is find at Troy Walker, ESQ, Esquire. His new album, his first album, is called Esquire. And it's everywhere mm-hmm. where you would get an album. And then he does stand-up comedy. And so if you went to Troy Walker Esquire, ESQ, on Instagram, it'll be in the notes. You'll probably find out where he gets to perform locally here in Los Angeles. Do you mm-hmm. do the road much?
You know, I'm working on, I used to do it a lot more than I do now. Now I don't really have the band.
Well, I help book a board game store called Geeky Tees once a month. We have a show.
I heard about this. Yes.
There you go. You are welcome to come.
Very cool store.
And it's a very cool store, and you can play there's board game library, and you can bring your own board game, and then you could, Andy spends a lot of his time, because people are willing to play test all of the games he makes. So he does a lot of play testing there and
nice.
For other people and himself. But Geeky Tees, let's see, this is going to go up after. I think it'll be May 25th, everybody. If you're in Los Angeles and you want to go to Geeky Tees, it's a board game store in Burbank. I'll book you on the as soon as.
I'd love to do it.
Okay, yeah. April and May are booked. And I think May is Ron Funches and Ed Greer and.
Oh, nice.
But this next one is, I think it'll be over. It's Guy Branum and Melissa Villaseñor. But whatever it is.
These are killer lineups.
Some killer lineups and super fun. $10. You get a free bottle of water. We roll a D20 at the beginning of it so that whoever gets the highest D20 gets to pick where they go in the lineup. And third, that's where you want to go. Go find Troy Walker's new album, current album, first album. It's Troy Walker.
First one.
Thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you.
Man.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's been really fun.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?